I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SPINQUEST.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
2 hours in sports radio.
How are the two best hosts on grid radio?
Moneyline with Donnie Wrightside.
Mustache glasses and a bacon, egg, and cheese. You know what? I just keep moving.
But here.
Kevin Walsh.
No, it's not a bad take. You're in outer space right now.
And the dream team of callers.
Right. I hope you guys checked the tape right. That was the 5-0 Vegas.
Bring it.
Astros, Rangers, Astros over.
Smoke.
Check
all
the
smoke.
Tape.
Yep. Easy, too. It was good.
It was, wasn't it? Man.
I listen to you guys also with all that great information you gave out on players' props. So it's going to be a fun night tonight.
I just honestly became a huge Sports Grid fan and over the last year, and I found you in K-Dub's show, man, and I have been addicted.
And let me give a shout-out to my man, JP, holding it down behind the scenes.
There it is.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM, Channel 159.
Hour number two officially underway right here on the grid. It is Moneyline. It's Donnie and Kevin. And by the way, hashtag SG Moneyline. Chris from Austin. Yes, it took me a second. He said, tell him to call in. I'm like, well, I don't know. Maybe he doesn't want to call in. But it took me to click on the name to find out that it was from Austin, Texas. And it is Chris from Austin. So there you go, Kevin. Everybody worldwide here across the board.
Well, as always. Mr. Worldwide.
No, I mean, come on, man. Here we go. Are you ready for that, K-Dub? Are you ready for this? Come on, listen. Just listen. Let it sink in. It's that time of the year. Next week, we are going to be watching full live episodes of Hard Knocks. You told me you're going to be glued to the TV and one of the most exciting times of the year. So I'm trying to get you hyped for it.
But I'm just a little confused because... You, one, seem to slander Hard Knocks, but you also
seem to be using
the Hard Knocks theme whenever
like
you're talking NFLP, like at all, like no matter what the subject is on.
Because that's
like
the begin. Hard Knocks is the official anthem of the summer. You know, you have like Hot Boy Summer.
Oh my God.
That's the anthem. Let me tell you something right now. People out there, they know. You go to the club tonight, they put on the Hard Knocks theme, the guys are just running out to the dance floor, getting it popping. That's the way it is.
No, I think, it might play. It might play. I'm not.
And then you get the, you know, Hard Knocks theme right behind that. That's the clubs around here, isn't it? In your area?
Beats me, man. Beats me. You might know better than I would, honestly.
By the way, when's the last time you went to a club? Like an actual club? Like not like, hey, bar, get a drink. Like a club.
Man, so if this place in Asbury that I went to would qualify... Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right? Like that would be sometime last summer. If that doesn't, and I'm not sure if it does qualify, then literally like probably over a half decade. Like club, not for me. That's not my scene.
I'll tell you one thing. As I get older, I do get a chuckle out of this, is the fact that I'm going to go out on a date. We're going to get a nice dinner, and then we're going to go out after that. Like, being married for so long now, like, that's, like, you got the dinner, and you just can't wait to get home and, like, fall asleep. Like, the whole concept of go out with a really nice dinner and then, like, stay in the city and go out after that, I'm so far gone. Like, I don't even know if I could do that again, to be honest. Like, hey, like, let's just, and again, there's no bad wishes over here in the DRS household at this point. But quite frankly, if I ever got, like, if my wife said, you know what, Donnie, we're done with this, I would just shut it down at that point. Like, you know what? Just staying in my basement for the next 15 years and betting games. Like, I might not even go out. I don't think I can go out anymore. I just don't think so.
You know what? I fully believe that. But I don't think we need to carry that conversation.
I get threatened daily with it. So, I mean, it might, you know, you never know when it actually comes true. It's not, I don't think it's going to come true at that point. But having said that, like, I try to put on a gruff face, like, be me first sending the papers over your way, right? And in the back of my head, I'm like, oh, I hope that, you know, no, it's not really the case.
That is the thing, though, for is you love to push those buttons. So, I guess.
Yeah.
You're fine, but you are probably consistently on the edge, which is how you prefer it.
Like I have a pretty strong face. Like I don't let too many things get to me, but it's always funny. Like the wife ends up going like, if I ever left, you'd be like in shambles. I'm like, yeah, right. And I walk out of the room like, I don't know, man. She right. She might be. Like, what am I doing with the rest of my life? Yeah, because you always throw the shots. And like, you know, the old joke is like, look, if I left you, you know, nobody's taking you out anymore after that. I'm like, prepare the line of people probably want to take her out at that point after that. So I'm like, I just try to put on the strong face on the home front here. Now.
What?
Yeah.
I'm leaving it. I'll leave it there. I don't know.
Exactly.
That's the angle you work off of. And that's
you have to. You have to act like, look, you, like I say, like fake it to make it. You got to have that strong hand acting there. Meanwhile, if push comes to shove, that hand might not be as strong as you thought it might have been. So I got a good game. I got a good poker game going on around this house now. Now, when we do talk about poker games and how things might not hurt and may hurt, Jalen Ramsey, man. You want to talk about one of the acquisitions of the offseason going, the Miami Dolphins, Kevin, are pushing all in and ready to get after it. Then you get news that Jalen Ramsey was going in for an MRI. Like, oh, I hope the best of it, which means, oh, sprained knee, 4 to 6 weeks. We'll be back maybe by the start of the season. Turned into it might be an ACL. And then I was like, whoo, thank goodness it is. And then you go, hold on now. He's going to miss August, September, October, November, and hopefully be ready for December.
Yeah, it's a really tough blow. And, you know, I was reading a little write-up today from our good buddy Warren Sharp and just kind of the expectation now for the Dolphins. That was a secondary that, you know, he initially was ranking as the second best in the league and dropping him outside of the top 10 because that's how important of a player Jalen Ramsey is.
By the way, Cade, we got apologies out here in these NFL streets.
Oh, this better not
find
be
out.
What I think
yeah,
it is.
Find out who's apologizing and what they are apologizing for. Coming up next, keep it right here at SiriusXM Channel 159. It's Moneyline. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh, yeah. Right back at it. By the way, we did a nice little tease before the break here. Somebody in the NFL, K-Dub, is apologizing today, saying, "May got out in front just a little bit too much, and I had my quote-unquote Fox hat on." So when the press asks you a question, K-Dub is like, "Hey, you know what? What was it really like around here? I mean, it looks like you're going to change the, you know, tone of this Denver Broncos organization. Sean Payton leveled the boom against the Jets and Nathaniel Hackett. And today, our guy Dove Kleiman said, Payton said, quote, I had one of my moments where I had my Fox hat on and not my coaching hat, which means he got a little loose. He absolutely meant it. He can apologize and say he did and all he wants to. You know he did.
Yeah, he certainly meant it. And I didn't see that headline when you brought it up. And I said, this better not be what I think it is. You know, part of sports is trash talk.
Yes.
And you never want to be, you know, overly disrespectful. And look, Sean Payton's words were certainly jarring, and I don't think he's lying that was more probably on, you know, Fox analysis, though admittedly I think even if Sean Payton would have said that while still being employed by Fox, people would be like, wow, that is a strong from a former coach to say to another coach. But I don't want it to ever be fake, but again, trash talk is a part of the game here. The one thing is, I think it's sometimes in sports, Donnie, people get very worried by trash talk, right? Where it's like, oh, bulletin board material, shouldn't have said that, right? Like Cincinnati talking as much as they did going into the game last year against the Chiefs. Like the idea that the Chiefs beat them because the Bengals talk trash, not because Mahomes and Reed and this whole group are just kind of dynastic, is ridiculous. But
exactly.
I don't know. I liked it from Sean Payton. I did.
Yeah. You don't want your coaches to be robotic, Kevin, and be like this.
We go out to play football. We play football. Hunt, hunt, hike.
See what I mean? You don't want that. You want a little bit of action from your head coach here, Kevin. And by the way, you can do this when you've had success in the NFL, when you've won a lot of games, when you've won a Lombardi Trophy. The thing I liked most about Sean Payton when he went to the Denver Broncos was, like, you know, he didn't have a chance to call every player and sit down with them for hours. But the one question I always remained was, like, hey, you know what? By the way, Ross has, like, his own office, his own team in the building. And I can guarantee you Sean Payton didn't even pick up the phone yet and goes, yeah, that's done. Like, I don't care if he had 60 people that had their own offices in our facility. They're all evicted. Like, I'm the coach. I will coach him. He doesn't need these people. I'm like, ooh, you know what? That's like that jump start that you need because, well, what's, by the way, what's Russ's, what is it, Mr., what does he call himself? I was going to say Mr. Unreliable, which is kind of funny here.
I was about to say Mr. Dangerous. Excitement. No, is it
it's
Mr.
something like that. What is it? Hold on, Russ.
Dangerous. Here's what I love about stuff like this, by the way.
We'll get
hit
up on Twitter 15 times.
No, yeah, people are screaming at their radios right now.
Ah,
screaming.
I got it. It's Mr. Unlimited. I mean,
Unlimited. Russ.
Jesus. The best part is I think it was Mr. Unreliable. I might as well.
Yeah, felt more accurate, right?
Yeah. The SG money lines are probably going to come in any second now as we get that little delay on there. Like, you idiots! It's Mr. Unreliable, as I like to say. No, it's pretty good stuff. Mr. Unlimited out there. By the way, you ready for this quote here? Dalvin Cook. Looks like he'd like to be a Jet. He'd like to get paid, certainly. But the fact that he answered a question on Friday, I think it was Friday, where he says this. Hey, by the way, what do you think about the Jets? Yeah, it's really good. You know what? But the Miami Dolphins, that Cinderella story where you're like, I'm from Miami, I'm from Florida. I was like, oh, man, he's playing all the hits up there at this point. You're basically taking a tour of the Jets facility with, like, Stephen Ross on speed dial, like, come get me. I really want to be a Dolphin. It's going to get interesting, but I have a feeling the Jets are the best spot for him. But the fact of the matter, he's like, yeah, I love the Jets, but, boy, I would really like to be a Dolphin.
Yeah, meanwhile, somehow the New England Patriots are just figuring out he's taking meetings and wondering if he'll show up to the facility for sleepover camp at Matthew Judon's house and then never even make a competitive offer. At what point do we – apparently Buffalo doesn't actually think they need a star running back. Do they love his brother this much? It is incredible that we were like, Buffalo is literally begging the Saints to trade them Alvin Kamara. They know they're a running back away. To Buffalo is now completely fine on bringing Dalvin Cook into their building.
I don't know what's going on at Buffalo because, again, they did make some signings in the offseason. But they went from like, hey, we're shopping at like Gucci. Well, who are you looking at? Alvin Kamara, Christian McCaffrey. Don't get either. And like, you know what? Since we didn't get those guys, we're probably all right anyway. No big deal. That's what it feels like to me.
Right.
Like, when you go and look for, like, go car shopping, it's like, what are you looking at? Ooh, a high-end car. It's like, yeah, you know what? I thought better of it. I'm not even going to get a new car. It's like, wait a second. You know you need one of those. What are you doing?
The thing with that is, and I don't think that Josh Jacobs is on Kamara at his peak and certainly this version of McCaffrey's level, but they could get Josh Jacobs out of Vegas, couldn't they? Don't you think so?
Yes.
With the way that McDaniels clearly doesn't want him there?
1,000%.
I don't know. But Buffalo must be over the idea. Like, did someone kind of break into that Buffalo room and be like, hey, don't you know we're not paying running backs, man? What are we doing?
Yeah, we don't need that. Because you went from we recognize what we need to, we'll be all right. We'll piecemeal this thing together here at this point. By the way, in Major League Baseball here, Kevin, a deal close here, it looks like Lance Lynn to the Dodgers or the Rangers. Coming right down to the wire here. But it looks like the Dodgers winning out right now. Lance Lynn. So that's, by the way, the Chicago White Sox team.
Yeah, that's what catches my attention.
Let's go back 2 years ago. This was a team that you looked at and said, wow, can't miss dominance in the AL Central for the next 4 to 5 years. Young, talented, powerful, opinionated, flashy, and fun. Basically being sold right out from under us now.
It's remarkable because all the talent that was in that room, and it's not been better this year, so it's hard to blame the whole thing on La Russa. though clearly I think that was a misfire that did not help the position that they put themselves in. And, you know, this is a team, you look at the talent, I thought they were, from a value perspective as well, a nice little bet to win that AL Central. And I got half of it right. The AL Central is nothing to write home about, but that includes the White Sox being nothing to write home about. My question to you is, how far can this fire sale go, right? Giolito already out the door, Lynn going to follow. Like, are your Tim Andersons, you know, are they selling low on a guy like that? What's the deal with some of the bats, though, Don, that people might still be believers in?
I mean, it's almost, because sometimes when you rebuild, Kevin, it's like all in or all out at this point. Like, if you're going to tear down your starting pitching staff, do you know what that tells me? You're in for a really long rebuild, because they're not getting rid of Adam Wainwright. Like, hey, man, what would you want? The guy's got one more year left, and then he's done. We'll send him off to, if he's pitching well, to a winner. We'll get something back for him. But you're dismantling what you thought would probably be like a 5 to 10 year run with some of these pitchers, which means that maybe you're comfortable on the way up. Again, like, oh, yeah, well, we still got Kopech. Yeah, good luck with that. So I don't even know where the Chicago White Sox, they went from so much promise and talent to, it looks like they might be in for a rebuild before they even got started. It's not like, hey, man, what'd you want? They won the division 7 of 8 years and 2 World Series runs. True. All good things have to come to end. It never got started for them.
It really didn't. It really did not. And again, you know, Louis Robert, right? Eloy Jimenez.
Yeah.
All, you know, Benintendi's on that team there. So there's a lot of young guys that, you know, we thought would be perennial all-stars probably for the White Sox. And they're not. Not even close, right? Not even close.
Yeah. We'll see the impact of Aaron Judge coming back to the Yankees this week in New York. I got a nice quote for you coming up. It's from a Dallas Cowboy. This guy always, look, he's actually one of my favorite players in the NFL, if that gives it away. But his comments make me laugh more than anybody else's. If he's sitting courtside at a Mavericks game with a random player or saying nonsense. Let's find out who it is next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You want quotes? We got quotes here. Hour number two, quote, 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 Kevin. One of my favorite players in the NFL. Now, granted, this is where I show where it's not just about, oh, I can't bet with this team. I don't want to make money with this team. One of my favorite wagers last year in the NFL, when we'll do this, and we'll do this again probably before the summer is out. Best bets for the season. Like, you pick 5, like, player props. Michael Parsons get over 10 sacks last year, 10 sacks or more. Let me fire that. Like, I literally thought he might have got it by game 3, it felt like.
Yeah.
He was just wrecking shop. I love the guy. What an unbelievable talent. But also, some of the things that he says really make me laugh, because he wears his heart on his sleeve. It'd be like draft night, and he's angry, like, why are the Eagles getting all these good players? And people chain, like, well, they have high draft picks. That's why they're getting good players, and you're not getting the players they're getting because they're drafting ahead of you here. So let's take a step back here. Micah Parsons, on the strength of the secondary, which is in Dallas's camp, because they added Stephon Gilmore. Quote, man, I've never had this before in my career ever. He's been in the league like 15 minutes. Like, I love these quotes. Yeah. It's like you played 13 years going, like, wow, I've been around a lot of football teams, never seen it this good. I think it's his third year. Boy, I've never had this before in my career.
He's, I don't want to say a weird guy. That's not the right.
I love him. I do like him.
He's constantly talking, and not in a negative way, but just in like a, just do your own thing, Micah. You know what I mean? Like, it's largely harmless. Like, how stressed out he was when the Eagles drafted Jalen Carter was absolutely hilarious, right? And it's a guy who's invested, and he's talking in a little bit of hyperbole, but that's okay. We see that all the time there with Parsons. The only time he ever, for me, got himself in a bit of trouble the hurt thing. It was like, well, let me ask you this. You know, is it the team or
system,
is it the
quarterback?
And again, one of my favorite things is when they played Dallas. And
this is the Technology Minute.
Plays the Eagles kept running was pick on Micah Parsons, where they kept running a read option, and then Jalen was throwing it over his head to Dallas Goedert, who was wide open. Like, they were, like, the only team that had Micah Parsons. Like, oh, no, oh, no, oh, no. Where Parsons usually just bullies every team he runs up against.
Yes, the Eagles' game plan was, who's the best player on that defense? It's Micah Parsons. Don't block him at all. Let's have fun with him and see what he can do. And they just, you know, making him run left, right, and left, right. Let's get to the phone lines here, 844-843-6879. Hour number two of Moneyline. It's the X-Man. He's up on deck, and you know he's about to deliver. X-Man, get in here. I mean, they're cheering for him. They're cheering for him, Kevin.
He's letting it sink in.
Oh, it's good stuff. X-Man! Oh, he's, you know he's doing. He's got business. Yep, there we go. We got business. He's got business got to handle, too. We'll get him up in just a few moments. But by the way, Russell Wilson, Kevin, more svelte, they're saying this year. As head coach Sean Payton says, he likes his quarterbacks and wide receivers at their right out of college playing weights. That's not where I'm at right now in my life, but apparently Russell Wilson is now.
So you playing on the Denver Broncos for this season, we can rule that out now, officially
correct.
Confirmed.
Correct.
All right. Glad we were able to get that on the record.
And by the way, like you don't ever think like you get old, even though you know you eventually are. Like you look at your dad and be like, you know, he's, oh, man, back hurts, stiff. It's like, man, that must be terrible to get older. Uh-huh. While I'm there, like sometimes I think about like camp in college football.
Yeah.
Running routes and doing all this stuff. And I can't, like, I'm pretty far removed away from it, 20-plus years. I can't even imagine, like, doing half of that stuff now at this age. But the X-Man, he's calling in. He's ready to go. Talk to us, X-Man. What do you got?
We got two WNBA props. Jewel Lloyd over 24.5.
Oh.
Natasha Cloud over 14.5. Mm-hmm. And we got the Houston Astros on the money line and the L.A. Angels on the money line. It's 18-1. It's Friday payday.
18-1, Kevin.
Let's do it.
Friday is payday out here. Look, hashtag SG money line was meant for the X-Man here giving out picks.
Yeah, one of the rock
ready to
stars
go. Yes.
Of sports grid radio.
Yeah.
Many have said he's in the WNBA tonight. Jewel Lloyd has been on a, what's the opposite of a heater, DRS? Cold streak? Is there a sticker?
Frozen.
Yeah,
yep.
She needs to bust out of a slump here. Bounce back spot did not pay out in her last game that she was out there. So we'll see if Jewel Lloyd can bounce back with the Seattle Storm tonight.
There you go. X-Man out in the street. Should I ask X-Man, like, when's the last time he's been in the club? I probably shouldn't say that because he probably owns the clubs out there down in Virginia at this point.
Yeah.
He's being a club owner. Late hours.
No.
What do you do? Get out of the club 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah.
Have you ever worked in the bar industry in any way, shape, or form?
Yes. I worked as, like,
I was a bar back / doorman in college.
I wasn't really a bar back, but I was, like, I don't know. Like, I helped, like, clean the tables. I don't know. It was weird, but it was a one-night shift that really did not last very long. I was not cut out for
Were you going back in the kitchen, like, grabbing a burger?
No, I told you that story.
Get out of
there. Wait, have I told you that? No, stop it. Hold on. Are you serious? You get a real kick out of this. Hold on. Yeah, we have time.
Tell it.
So I worked one place where it was a really, like, long 12-hour shift. Things didn't work out. But then I worked another place, and I was, like, a waiter, which was like, oh, okay, yeah, I'm sure I'll be fine at this. And they're like, hey, you know, if you get hungry, just ask them to make you dinner, and it'll be fine.
Wow.
Okay, cool, right? But they're also like, there's, like, fries or stuff, like, if you need to, pick, whatever you got to do, okay? I'm like, okay,
yep.
Cool. So it was my first day. It was kind of busy. You know, you're a little shy. Like, am I going to really ask them to make me up, like, a full meal that I sit down, eat, right?
True.
So what am I going to do? Well, there's a basket of fries that are just sat there at all times, ready to rock.
Yes.
So
Correct. Basically,
every single time I walked past the fries, I ate the fries, right? I mean, I ate the French fries. For dinner for over the course of a 6-hour shift.
Wow.
Well, apparently I got in trouble for that. Like, someone's like, hey, man, like, you got to stop eating the fries. Like, if you want them to make you a meal, but, like, it's crazy. Like, you're picking out of the fry basket, like, literally every time you walk past him. I was like, man, this is terrible. I worked one shift as well.
Now, what was the age?
Too.
What age were you at that point?
In college, mm-hmm. probably like a summer quick college job. But again, quick. It was in and out kind of thing. I wasn't cut out.
Now, what did you move on to after that job? Like, were you still looking for employment? You're like, you know what?
No, I think what
Pops hooked me up with a couple dollars each week.
I worked a couple times with my father, and let me tell you, you gain a level of respect depending on what industry your father might be in. If you ever do a job with him, mm-hmm. my dad is a stagehand, and I've told you that. Yeah. He was working like an event at Yankee Stadium, and it was like an overnight thing. And we're on like hour 10. And I mean, Don, and this won't surprise you. I mean, I grabbed his seat. I mean, come on now. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
I'm exhausted. Yeah, I sit down, and he goes, kid, if I'm not sitting, you're not sitting. Get up. I'm like, aren't you exhausted? He's like,
yeah.
Enough. Let's go. And meanwhile, like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm supposed to be fresh, young, and spry and ready to go. Yeah. And he's just powering through. That's just.
I mean, the guy's setting up Lion King sets 24 hours a day over here, and you're sitting over there, like, you know what I mean? Sitting down. He's trying to get the stars ready out here in these streets.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
100%. I wasn't cut for it, man.
By the way, I'm in college, behind the desk.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't work during the season, and I didn't work in like the spring because you're usually working out and, you know, focusing on studies and whatnot. But I always worked in the summer, valet jobs. The one interesting job that I did have, which was basically like, because I was in, I guess, Bergen County. I want to say Bergen County, New Jersey, and just outside of Patterson. I think that's what Sagberg, whatever it was. But we would do, it was a 2.5 week job, Kevin. It started after, like right after, I want to say, Thanksgiving break. Like you come back to school, it's like, you know, first week of December. You only got like 2 more weeks. But this was a company that staged malls in New Jersey for Christmas. So when you see like, oh, look at all these things set up, we would work at 10 p.m. at night and go all night in these malls setting up Christmas trees and doing all that stuff. So you had, like, free run of the mall at night when nobody was there. They'd bring in food for you and do all that stuff. But it was an interesting one where it paid well. And it was like, hey, man, you need some cash for Christmas coming up. But that was one of the more interesting jobs I had, which we were in Toms River, a little bit south, and did a couple of the malls, like Willowbrook Mall. And what was the other big mall? Garden State Mall, one of those. We did those things. So that was a little bit interesting one where it's at night like, hey, you know what? Nobody really supervising you, but you got to get the job done. And by the way, some of those malls, Kevin, 2-3 decks, like, hey, who's going up on the scaffold to, like, hang that big snowflake? Not me, pal. Not me. Man.
Mm-mm. No. I'm not height. You know that, like, iconic photo of the city workers?
I'm definitely afraid of heights.
Eating their lunch, Donnie.
Yep.
Yep. Like, what were those guys doing? What were they doing? I mean, go sit down at a table, man.
Now, let me ask you a question about that picture. Like, let's just say you're in that picture. Are you on one side, like, six guys on the other side of the beam eating? Is that the way that... Hey, Kev, so like, hold down
balance it out.
That bar. And by the way, like, that wasn't even like a Photoshop. Like, oh, let me just do a painting. Like, that's a real picture. Like, I don't understand. Like, some things I just don't understand. And that's one of them where the iron workers of the world who build cities, you can't pay me enough to do that. And a lot of them are like, hey, man, like, the sights keeps it entertaining and, like, you're always on your feet. I'm like, no. No, like every day sometimes we wake up to work in this job. Like, all right, man, we're going to put in some work, go home, relax. What am I doing today? Oh, you're on the 68th floor today with a steel beam. Good luck. See you after lunch. No shot. Hour number two, we talk about everything here on The Grid. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Everybody's working for the weekend. Yeah, you know that's what we do. Everybody has off on the weekends here. Nobody works on the weekends, Kevin. That's the way we like it around the Sports Grid Network. As we hit the phone lines here, 844-843-6879. Jordan from Phoenix calling in. He's ready to rock and roll this weekend. What's up, Jordan?
What's going on, fellas? How are we doing this morning?
Hey. What's up, man?
I got a parlay. I know you guys did the same game, but I actually like the Phillies and Mets. I'm going to take them and parlay them together on the DraftKings. Mm-hmm. They give you like that 50% boost, you know, so I'm going to use those. Use it on that. Oh, man, aren't those nice? I mean, I wish FanDuel would get with it a little bit more, but DraftKings, they seem to be doing something like that every day. So that's always nice. And then I want to touch K-Dub. Did you say something you could see, like, I think both you guys were talking, like, the Bills were in on McCaffrey, and then you who was the other guy you guys mentioned there?
Kamara.
And then I was thinking, yeah, Kamara, yeah. And then, but like you just said, Josh Jacobs. I mean, if he's going to hold out, I mean, they got James Cook as, like, the running back up in Buffalo. If Dalvin Cook's not going to go to Buffalo, I mean, in my eyes, between you guys, like, telling you guys, I think they only got, like, Diggs, the number one receiver, and then I'm not even sold on who Buffalo's got as the number two receiver. So I think they should definitely be interested in going and getting another playmaker to go along with Josh Allen and Diggs.
Yes.
Well, Buffalo's so interesting, DRS, because Buffalo went from, oh, this is the best roster in football, to they lost last year in the playoffs to Cincinnati. People are like, man, I mean, there's no talent on this team. I mean, they've got no weaponry outside of Stephon Diggs, and that's not a shot at Jordan. But I don't know where the truth lands. I don't know where the truth lands, because a lot of people feel the way Jordan does, that this team doesn't have enough juice on the outside there. They did draft Dalton Kincaid, and we'll see if the kid out of Utah can make a big change. But we know the adjustment period for rookie tight ends can at times be difficult there. So I don't know how much you want to bank on Kincaid. And it's a team a lot of people thought were going to be aggressive in the Hopkins market, and ultimately they weren't aggressive in the Hopkins market.
And some people would say you can't really trust a Mac tight end to come in there, right, in his first year and dominate out here in these streets. Some would say. Who are you drafting? Isn't that kid from Bowling Green? No. Who cares wherever he was from at this point? Utah, yeah. Bowling Green. Same look on the uniforms at that point. By the way, if we do keep it.
Part.
What?
No, what just you. Utah Bowling Green, man. It's pretty good.
Exactly. Like that. Who would even know anyway? If I'm on an NFL show or on the grid, like, who do you want to draft? And I said the kid from Bowling Green. Be like, yeah, it makes sense. Good tight end at a Bowling Green. Just keep rolling with it at that point here. Yeah. The running back position in the NFL, which I get a kick out of more each and every day. You're paid what you're actually worth on the open market. They're angry. They're still getting, look, they're not getting $100,000 contracts. Like, you're seeing them fight over tens of millions of dollars, but feel that they deserve more. I love the fact that Robert Irsay, with his best, again, running back, it's all relative. Jonathan Taylor is a specimen at running back. If you had him on your team and he's healthy, any given moment he can bust it. Like, one of the premier running backs in the NFL. His agent's upset, and the owner's going to Twitter like, you guys, you made your bed laying it now. Like, I don't even know if I'm going to pay you. And again, keep in mind, he is due for an extension coming into this year. It is the final year of his contract, and we don't hear anything except he's unhappy, and it doesn't look like the Indianapolis Colts are going to move.
But it's getting really annoying because you and I actually had some disagreement, because I find the Saquon situation to be super odd. That team, just kind of the way they reverse course on things when they were seemingly willing to pay him. But let's just remove Saquon if we can for a minute here.
Yeah.
Jonathan Taylor, I don't understand. Why won't you pay me $15 million a year like McCaffrey was paid 4 years ago? Like, you're not making any sense. Like, that is not a logical complaint. That is not what running backs are worth anymore. Like it's ridiculous here. What are we doing, Doc? Like, what are we doing?
Like, it's like when housing prices are going down, you have to understand what the market is. Whether or not you think you should get $21 million a year, that's not where it's at. But it feels like it's almost where there's such an impasse. Yeah. Like, when the agent is going on Twitter and adding the owner, when does that work out in the agent's favor? Ursay, you know what? You're right about that. I'm sorry about that comment.
Like, let's just play this out, right? And again, I want to remove Saquon. They said Josh Jacobs was offered, what, double-digit annually, right? $11, $12 million from Vegas annually, if I'm not mistaken.
Like, was it annually or was that the 1 year? Because I read the same thing, but I didn't read into it. But I probably assume it's a longer-term deal, yes. But I would have assumed that.
My point is, what do we think that the Colts would be willing to pay Jonathan Taylor, a player that they obviously really like and value DRS, right? They'd probably be willing to give him 11, 12, 12 yeah. and a half per year. And I'm supposed to be like, oh, this is crazy. I can't believe Jonathan Taylor's not getting $16 million. It's not like Jonathan Taylor can't find work, right? Like, it's not like Dalvin Cook can't find work. Dalvin, every single team in the AFC East is asking Dalvin Cook to come in, okay? Sorry, Dalvin Cook's not getting $11 million, but Dalvin Cook's probably going to walk away. If I had to guess, Donnie, $6 million deal, yeah. incentives take it up to $8 million. That's just a guess off the top of my head of where that ends up landing for Dalvin Cook. These guys are not making like the veteran minimum because they yeah. play running back.
It's good you bring that up, too, because if you remember when Dalvin Cook was released, comment from his camp was like, yeah, price starts like $15 million. And we're like, okay, and that's why he still isn't on a football team. That's just not where the market is. But having said that, you look towards some of these guys. Like, if you were to pay a running back, it's probably Jonathan Taylor. So I'm interested to see where it goes because you know the MO right now in the NFL is I'm going to draft a running back high. He was in the second round, which technically for running back now is pretty high. Let the contract run out. If he's still really good at the end of it, we tag him. If he's still really good after the tag, Kevin, we tag him again, and then we probably don't sign him. That's what these running backs now basically have to live for is like, you know what? The best of the best is 2 years, maybe $30 million is what I'm going to get on the back end of it here. There's no more, hey, you know what? The Zeke Elliott contract, they seem to be going by the wayside. Running backs are still going to get paid depending on which team likes that running back position. But if Saquon Barkley can't come to an agreement with the Giants when he's basically their offense and their glue, that's when you know it's bad in the NFL.
Yeah, I still think the fact that ultimately they did work something out, though, mm-hmm. with Saquon DRS shows that Saquon was serious. He wanted to be there. And the Giants do know that, that's a super important player to them. One of the really interesting things, though, is, and this is so far out ahead, right? Like, we don't have to worry about this, but, man, I really have no true read on what's going to happen with Saquon Barkley next season. And maybe, you know, the answer is going to be somewhere in this year's success, and that's probably true. But I wonder if you today asked the Giants front office, hey, do you think you will franchise him again, sign him to a long-term deal, or just let him walk? Like, what do the Giants truly expect the outcome on Saquon Barkley being long-term?
The interesting part is those numbers go up every year, typically. Now, you know what the interesting part is when I say that now? I don't know if that's going to go up because isn't it the price point of like the top three to top five guys at the position? And if the running back market is crashing, because it used to be like, okay, there's going to be a kicker. Does that $10 million just stay basically $10 million next year again? Because it used to be like, okay, Lamar Jackson, yeah, tag him at 25. You want to tag him again next year? It's $40 million because of how much higher it goes up. It might be where like that's the top end for a running back is just the franchise tag, how crazy it sounds. Because we're not going to see big yeah. increases year to year to year, even though there is a tag kicker increase, but it's based upon like the top five or whatever at your position. And that market right. is crashing.
So that's kind of the funny part. Pollard, Jacobs, and Saquon, pre kind of little Saquon raise, I believe we're all tied for the fourth highest paid biggest salary cap hit for a running back this season, right? So those guys are getting good money relative to the running back market this year. And they're all stunned that they're not getting long-term deals. But again, this is why different players. Pollard getting a long-term deal is insane. He's not earned it, and the notion he has is crazy. Josh Jacobs is on a team that does not want a bell cow back, and I think the Giants are going about this in a very bizarre way. And that's what I'm saying. Grouping those three running backs together is something that I think is really misguided.
Yeah, no, I agree with you there. And by the way, if we get back to the quarterback position getting paid here, which quarterbacks seemingly are outside of Joe Burrow, when are we getting that deal? Because I said to myself, I figured this weekend that deal would be coming down for yeah. Joe Burrow. Do we get into next week? Do we wait for him to come back on the football field? And how quickly does he actually return? First of all, in this new day and age of the NFL, we're down to three preseason games. I would be really surprised if quarterbacks are even playing anymore. I'm talking about the elite quarterbacks. Jalen Hurts of the Philadelphia Eagles. What did he get? One or two snaps last year? I don't think he's going to play in the preseason. Like Joe Burrow, is he going to be allowed to have game action without the new contract?
Well, I don't know if Burrow would have, regardless of the contract. But again, I don't even think My read on this is Burrow's not even going to be healthy enough to have game action with that calf strain there, DRS. So that seems completely off the board now for Cincy and their franchise quarterback here. And I really find this to be such an interesting spot that Cincinnati is in, because if, you know, the Patrick Mahomes contract, I'm going to keep banging this drum until this is figured out, right? A deal that at the time people were like, oh my goodness, look at all the money. And then almost immediately it's like, ooh, that's kind of a team-friendly deal, right? And if the Bengals go, hey, Joe, let's be honest here, pal. Every year we're talking about a Joe Burrow injury. Well, we want you here for a decade. You want to be here for a decade. Mahomes got 10 years, $450 million. We're going to give you 10 years, $475 million. What do you say?
Yeah.
And see what – because, Donnie, would anybody bash the Bengals if they signed Joe Burrow to a decade-long contract? Not a single soul. Would anybody bash Burrow for taking a decade-long contract instead of the five-year, $280 million deal? No. So this could be a moment where Cincinnati can maybe change that conversation a touch. I'm fascinated to see if they attempt to.
Yeah, we got so many teams to talk about in the NFL leading up to the regular season. We have to remind ourselves, the NFC South last year was so bad, but Tampa Bay actually won that division at 8-9. And if you followed along last year, I told you one of the biggest issues with Tampa wasn't really the O-line, the wide receivers, the defense. It was the quarterback. And he's gone. And now you supplant Baker Mayfield in with basically the same team as last year. Like, we talk like wrestling terms, like the stone cold stunner move. In the NFL, is that a stunner there? If the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are actually a decent football, they were under 500. We talk about, oh, they lost Brady. They can't compete. They weren't competing last year with Brady, and he was the issue. Is 500 too far off for the Tampa Bay Bucs in that division? Like, they can't get there?
For me, where I am not as down on Brady as you were, but also agree that people are too low on Tampa Bay. There is still a lot of talent in the room, and I'm higher on Baker, I guess, than the consensus. Baker Mayfield, to me, is someone that had to play injured in Cleveland, stuck with the Matt Rule Panthers, which was always a horribly ran situation, and then went to the Rams and had some moments without ever really getting his feet wet or great weapons around him. I think Baker has juice.
That's a sound.
It is a sound point there. It is a bad offensive line there for Tampa Bay, but we're going to have one more segment before we shut it down for the day. Come on back and talk to us here. It's Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
As I sit here and watch the full game, Kevin, of the AFC Championship game, it's the fourth quarter. It's 20-20, Cincinnati, Kansas City. I need this in my life. I don't want to fast forward the football season, which we're going to do the same thing, Kevin, on this radio show. We're going to have opening day and be so excited like we should be. And then all of a sudden, like, you know what? We actually only have like four football games left to go in the season. I hate that, because if you always told me, like, Donnie, football season is so easy. Once it ends, it's really hard work. It is.
Yeah, as usual, you were a pain in the ass until the last of this show. Can I ask you an Eagles fandom question to end this out?
Yes, yes, yes.
More painful loss. Oh. Eagles Super Bowl against the Pats, Eagles Super Bowl against the Chiefs.
Wow. I was really hurt. The Patriots was an interesting one. I'll bring that up because it was the first time we got there, like in my, like, I don't remember, 1980. I was too young, 3 years old.
Yeah.
I was so excited for them just to get there when they lost. It was like, oh, man, it's the Patriots and it's Tom Brady. Hopefully they get back. They didn't. But I got to tell you, the loss was extra painful in the Chiefs game. And you know the reason why? First time I got to watch it with my daughter where, you know, she's at the age where she understands, was buying in on the whole playoff run. And we sat there side by side and cheered it on. And I remember waking up the next day and I going into like before school. And I was like, you know what? I told her, I was like, that was so much, even though they lost, that was so much fun watching. I felt really bad, like Monday and Tuesday, that they lost that game because it was so much fun cheering it on with her. That was a tough loss. It's been a minute, but yes, I would say the Chiefs loss was worse than the original Patriots 04 loss.
Yeah, because I mean, because for me, I was only like 9 when the Eagles lost that game to the Pats. Yeah, that's right. I did that on purpose. So it didn't hit the same. You just brought up the AFC Championship game, and I just got angry.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, maybe if we would have played Cincinnati, it goes different. Like, it's going to bother me for
years. I was watching Rihanna going like, man, this concert is awesome. The Eagles won the Super Bowl. Great stuff. And an hour and a half, it was done because they couldn't treat the field appropriately out there, and they got buzzed at the end of the game with a bad call. It is what it is. We're out of here. It's Moneyline behind the scenes. Everybody did a great job. Christian, Donnie Wrightside, and Kevin. We're out.
I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home. With hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SPINQUEST.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.